Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Well, I try to take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what, and to step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Women Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't think I would have any advice per se because I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it one way or another, good or bad.
I think it comes down to being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal because everything that happens to me happens to just basically everybody, especially women.
You're listening to The Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Do you ever feel like you need to be Wonder Woman to get everything done and be the awesome, powerful woman you know you can be? Well, you're not alone. We all need to remember to use our superpowers, the ones we already have but we don't use all the time. Towards the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers are awesome. I'm so happy you're here, so thanks for tuning in. Today's topic is personal branding and personal growth. And by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to determine what sets you apart from your colleagues, what your personal brand is, and how you can use it to your advantage. My guest today is Mary Lou Kaiser, author, business strategist, ghostwriter, and personal brand expert. Mary Lou works with emerging and established businesses to help them create their best-in-class assets, primarily from a writing standpoint. Mary Lou recently wrote a book about personal branding called Personal Branding Secrets for Beginners. Today, I'm going to talk to Mary Lou about the importance of personal branding, her journey to where she is today, and the growth she realized she needed to get here. The free giveaway today is the introduction and first chapter of Mary Lou's book, Personal Branding Secrets for Beginners, and you can download it at wellwomanlife.com/009show. I love this giveaway because it clues you into the ways in which personal branding can benefit you and introduces ways you can determine your own personal brand. But before we get started, I want to thank our sponsor today, Leafy Greens. They provide seasonal cleanses and nutrition consultations, and I love them. Leah is the owner, and she does a wonderful 21-day cleanse that changed my life a couple of years ago. Visit wellwomanlife.com/leafygreens to sign up for the cleanse and get a Well Woman 10% discount. Now for my interview with personal brand expert Mary Lou Kaiser. I am speaking with Mary Lou Kaiser this afternoon. Welcome to the Well Woman Show. It's great to have you.
Well, thanks, Giovanna. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, Mary Lou, tell our listeners a little bit about what you do. And this show obviously is for women, and I know you probably work with men and women, but talk a little bit about what you do and what you offer to the world.
Okay. Well, what I call myself, for lack of a better term in today's, you know, world of trying to find some kind of label, is I'm a business strategist. And what that means is I work with emerging and established businesses to help them create best-in-class assets, and usually from a writing standpoint. So, for example, I'm currently working with a client who owns 10 McDonald's franchises in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and she's a very busy, very successful business owner and wants to create a book but just doesn't have the time. And so she brought me on board to work with her directly to map out what her book project looked like, what the different elements to getting it to its final stage would be, and ultimately hiring me to not just do the strategy session to plan it, but also to help her write it. Mm. So that's one of many examples. I'm not just pigeonholed into the ghostwriting arena, but when you're looking at creating a best-in-class asset for your company, if you're an individual entrepreneur or if you're working with a larger organization, things that are based in writing still carry a lot of weight. Could be a newsletter. It could be, again, for example, I did some ghostwriting of a CEO's letters to his entire staff last spring when he had to make some pretty powerful and life transitioning announcements that were going to affect everybody in the company. And he just needed a hand with creating that asset so it read the way he wanted it to and had the kind of influence and impact that he wanted. So that's in a nutshell the kind of work that I do. And then, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I am the host of a podcast that is just a lot of fun to share stories of other amazing people in the world who are doing great things and adding some inspiration to a planet that needs a lot of it.
That's true. That's so true. And you wrote a book called Personal Branding Secrets for Beginners.
I did.
And tell our listeners a bit about that, maybe with some tips, and then maybe we can share some of your book with them after.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wrote the book back in my first version of it was in, I think, 2011. I'd been immersed in the whole online scene and really took to learning about this new movement called personal branding and discovered that people started asking me questions about it because out at events and so forth, I would bring it up and people would lean in and say, yeah, I've heard about personal branding, but I really don't understand it. So I sat down one day, Giovanna, to just make sense of everything I had learned about personal branding. And lo and behold, this book emerged. And I thought, well, you know, this was about the time when Amazon and ebooks were really beginning to take off. And I'm a curious person by nature, so I love little projects. And I decided, why not just go through the process of creating an ebook and see what happens? And that's really how that book came to life.
Okay. And what is personal branding, actually? Why don't we stop you there and ask you that?
Yeah. So personal branding, in a nutshell, is the value that you bring to the world through what you do. So when you think about what is it that you do, Giovanna, that adds value to the world, you would probably be able to sit down and make a list of some things, right? Mm-hmm. And that becomes part of your personal brand. That's what people remember you for.
So do people need personal branding if they work in a large corporation, or is this really more for entrepreneurs and individuals?
No, these days everybody needs a personal brand, whether you work for somebody or you work for yourself.
So give an example of like someone who really needs a personal brand who might not know it.
Okay, somebody who works for, say, a large multinational corporation with thousands of employees, and there may be within that corporation a lot of people in that same job category. So how is that person, say, in HR, going to differentiate him or herself from all the other people who have that job title? And that's one thing that I bring up in the book that distinguishes a personal brand. It's not your job title. It's not your degree. It's not your resume. It really has to do with, again, what value you bring that's different from anybody else. So it's accentuating and being the best you can be.
And why do people need this? Is it so that they can talk about themselves better and market themselves better?
Yeah, it's definitely about that. And it's also a way of, again, in a world full of copycats and lookalikes, how do you stand out? What makes you special? What makes you different? And it doesn't have to be some grand, you know, at a celebrity level kind of thing. It could be as simple as the value that you bring is your ability to remember people's names. And, you know, in a room full of everybody else who's does the exact same thing that you do from a job title standpoint, you may be the only one that has that distinction. And it could be the one thing that sets you above everybody else in terms of finding a new opportunity or getting a promotion if you work for somebody, or if you're working for yourself, finding that niche within the marketplace that you could help other people.
Okay. Well, this is great because, you know, we talk about wellness and health and well-being a lot on this show. And so it's great to really have some expertise from a business strategist. So, and what I want to talk to you a little bit about is, you know, the business strategy, but also sort of the person behind what you do. So who you are and how you stay healthy and well and happy in order to do all of the things that you do. So I want to ask you if you can describe a time in your life when you didn't put yourself first, when you weren't taking care of yourself the way maybe now you know you need to. And what was that like? Can you think of a time when that happened?
Yes. I mean, who can't, right? Yeah. Especially as women. let's see. I would say that the time right after my marriage ended, I went into a pretty dark place and stopped doing the things that had kept me to that point, staying healthy and keeping my mindset sharp. Just the whole traumatic experience of transitioning out of being married into being a single mom was a tough time. Mm. And any of the listeners who have been through that or know somebody who's been through that will understand that all the advice you get during that time is take care of you first. But when you're in the thick of it and all you can think about is how this life you've always known is ending, it's really difficult to do that.
Yeah, especially, you know, as a mom, you want to put your kids first, and we always come last in those situations, we being the, you know, the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And how long ago was this?
That was almost 10 years ago now.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I can relate somewhat in a different way, which is that I was raised by a single mom. So, you know, I saw her go through all of the struggles and hardship of being a single parent and raising two kids. So I've experienced it from the other end, but not as a single mom myself. And so what did you do at that time in your life? Like, how did you respond to that?
Well, to be honest with you, I shut down emotionally. I just went numb. I was functioning by all external signals. I was, you know, showing up and making sure there was food on the table, that I had gas in the car to be able to take my kids to and from school, that I had enough money to make sure that they had the basics they needed to succeed in school and clothes and things like that. But as far as economically, I really became a Spartan. I learned to live on very little. And in doing so, I had to shut out the things that I had in the past used as ways of taking care of myself, of de-stressing, of just unwinding and such. I just didn't have the means to invest in those things. I'm talking things like massages and gym memberships and things like that. So again, emotionally, I just went inward and tried as best I could to shut out just all the drama and the trauma really that I was experiencing.
And when did you have, when did that change? Like, when did you have a moment where you were able to shift out of that?
That changed around the time when, let's see, I was going to say 2012. So it was a good 5 or 6 years that I was just living on autopilot. Mm. And when I finally made the decision, I went to an event that a friend of mine was putting on, and I went to support her, but I also was interested in the topic that she was teaching about. It was a 2-day conference, and it was a small conference here in the Portland, Oregon area. And I walked away from that after hearing the different speakers and being in an environment with other people who had the mindset of, I'm investing in myself, I'm going to learn how to do what I need to do to succeed in this new world. And that was just the catalyst for me recognizing I needed to up my game. I needed to address the emotional pain of getting divorced and move past it. And really, I've been on a fairly steep upward trajectory ever since then. So it's been about three and a half years now.
Oh, wow. And so during the 5 or 6 years that you were living on autopilot, did that impact your business side, or were you able to kind of separate those things?
No, it definitely impacted my business side. I think for women, it's really, really hard for us to compartmentalize. Mm-hmm. And everything to me is connected. So how I was feeling in my private life was definitely spilling into what was going on in my business life. Plus, we had the double whammy of the economy collapsing. So I did, when I first separated and was living on my own with my kids, I did have a business that was doing fairly well and was supporting me. And then the economy hit, or the economic collapse hit, and I lost almost 70% of my business overnight. Mm-hmm. And I could never get it back because nobody was investing in the kind of business that I was mm-hmm. doing at the time. And that set in motion my journey into learning about the online space, because just as the economy was going down, social media was starting to come on board. Twitter and Facebook and those kinds of things were really gaining speed. So, but like anything, it took me a while to learn and implement. And I just, you know, was trying to keep my head above water with being a mom. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, back on this idea of compartmentalizing, because that is something that I think is expected of men, or of men and women in a male-dominated society, I guess. And so I think if men are able to bring some of those more feminine attributes into their lives and workplace, which is more happening, you know, it's happening a little bit more now, then it balances out a little bit more. But do you see a shift in business in that way, in terms of it being more acceptable to bring your emotion into the workplace, so to speak?
I do, especially in the millennial generation. You know, these are young men in their 20s and early 30s who were raised in a time when it was just talked about more equality and balance. And yet, at the same time, I continue to see a separation between the way men are in the business world and the way women are, especially, again, in the younger ages. And I really think it has to do with our biology. And I think as men and women get older, for your older listeners, you know, they'll look around. I'm talking about people in their 40s and 50s. There is a little bit more parity because, again, that biological urge to procreate, which is so dominant in our 20s and 30s, and to mate is really top of mind for a lot of people. Whether or not they admit it, it's still driving them. Mm. But beyond that, again, the older we get, the more settled we become in terms of being at peace with who we are and not being driven so much by that, but by loftier aims, looking at our legacy, for example. And now that our kids are either getting bigger or have left the nest, we are looking at second or maybe even third chapters. So, you know, there's four generations at work, Giovanna, mm-hmm. right now. There's people in their late early 70s all the way down to their early 20s. Mm-hmm. And those are four very different generations with different attitudes and expectations. And they're all swirling around in one place. And so you can see why there are some, I think, exciting challenges that businesses are facing today we, you know, go deeper into the 21st century.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. And so let me take you back to you're at that conference, the 2-day conference that really kind of shifted things for you. When you left, what did you do? How did you respond to that?
So I'd been dancing around an idea in my head about starting a putting a course online, an eight-week course teaching people how to write and self-publish their first book on Amazon. And I mapped out the course. I did a lot of research, and I had it ready to go, including graphics made. And it may not seem like it, but in 2012, we still didn't have some of the sites we have now, like Fiverr. I mean, there were just, it's amazing how fast things have changed. So anyway, long story short, I got to the 11th hour with that and was so close to launching when I got cold feet and I pulled back. And I ended up doing a joint venture with the woman who had put on the conference and then another person that she knew. And that took me into a year-long journey that was incredibly powerful in terms of personal growth and gaining some very savvy business skills. The joint venture ultimately didn't work out long-term, but we did have some success when we were doing it. And that set in motion the direction that I took my business from there.
Mm. Okay, so that was really a catalyst for change for you and your business. How about emotionally?
Emotionally, it wasn't until a year later when I attended another conference. This one was much bigger. It was in Baltimore. And I heard a speaker who, you know, who knows why. We see what we see or we hear what we hear when we do. But it was just my time to really hear what he was talking about. Mm. And I ended up buying the what he was selling from the stage, and it was a course and then a 3-day event. This was in April of 2013. His event was October of 2013. And the minute I received the box from him that had the pre-course study materials and, you know, some other stuff, I just dove into it. And it had to do with storytelling and finding your personal power, which was what I needed at that time. And what it did for me was, through writing, it got me back to where I remembered being before my life took the turn that it did in 2006. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Okay. And finding your personal power. And so that really helped you do that course.
Oh, yes. It was the catalyst to where I am today. It's interesting when I trace back the sequence of events. It all really started in January of 2012 when I went to my friend's 2-day event and then ended up getting cold feet at the 11th hour to launch my course and instead doing a joint venture. I felt there was safety in numbers. And I didn't trust myself enough at that time to go it alone. That led to a year of tremendous growth, including meeting the woman who put on the conference in Baltimore, where I heard the speaker whose program really set in motion just me coming back to who I was, but only better because go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Who was that speaker?
His name is Bo Eason.
Hmm. Okay, I don't know him.
Yeah, Bo Eason is a former NFL safety, and he became a playwright once a game or a career-ending knee injury took him out of football forever. And that was back in the late 80s when football players weren't nearly as compensated as they are today. And he started looking around and saying, what am I going to do now? He was 27 years old, and, you know, it, with one hit was... went from living that life to being nothing.
Yeah.
And that led him on his own journey. And so he now teaches people using his own journey and writing and just discovering your personal power through storytelling. And it's incredible. He is very dynamic and he also walks his talk, which I respect tremendously.
Yeah. Okay. I want to ask you about this. I think women very often want to make a change in their lives and they intellectually, you know, understand like I need to make a change, but actually being ready to make the change is so hard to get there. And it's often not something you can just decide to do. It has to, you know, you have to be really ready to hear the message. As you said, when you were there, you were really ready. And so many of my guests talk about that moment of being ready. And so I just want to ask you, what do you think it was? And it's usually a lot of different things coming together at the same time. But what do you think it was that made it that day that you were, you know, that you heard what you needed to then really change and take action?
The only thing I can say is it was cosmic energy. Really, it was beyond, it was something beyond me. Liz Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, just published her most recent book called Big Magic. And that book is all about creative living beyond fear. And so for anybody who considers themselves creative, it's a must read. And in that book, she captures this very intangible force that exists in the universe that is always swirling around us. And, you know, it can be said in a lot of different ways. When the student is ready, the teacher appears is one of my favorite lines. I honestly don't know, Giovanna.
Yeah.
It was just, but it was like time slowed down. And I still remember that moment so distinctly. It was like I was outside myself, watching myself lean into him. I was so captivated by his physicality on the stage as he told his story. And then I couldn't get out of my chair fast enough to get to the back of the room to sign up for his 3-day event. And that event itself set in motion another sequence of events that continued taking me deeper into the journey that I still am on today.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really, like you said, intangible sort of thing that happens. And it's hard to describe it or replicate it. But when it happens, it's very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me transition us into our segment called Superpowers for Success. You are a business strategist. You wrote a book called Personal Branding Secrets for Beginners. And we're going to be able to share the first chapter of that book with our listeners. So listen at the end of the show for links for that. And Mary Lou Kayser, let's talk about success and superpowers for success. What does success in life mean for you?
Success in life means to me being able to live from a place of truth and you showing up and being who you are, the best you possible, and earning money from that, because let's face it, we need to make a living. And it's beyond money, though. Success to me is not about all the trappings. It's about being comfortable and serving in a way that makes you don't even realize you're working, because it just feels so natural.
Mm. And when did you know you were really good at what you do?
Oh my gosh.
Can you remember a moment where you just thought, okay, I got it?
Well, this was in my first career as a high school English teacher, but I do remember a day. I was 25 years old. I'd been teaching for about a year and a half. I was driving home from the school. It was a spring day. It was warm. I had the windows rolled down. I was driving an old beat-up pickup truck, and I had my arm out the window. And I remember just looking around and feeling the sun on my face and saying, you know what, Mary Lou? This is it. You have arrived where you have been meant to be since you were 5 years old.
Hmm. Wow. And has that, obviously that feeling has stayed with you because you can describe it so clearly. Do you still think about that moment in your life now?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, earlier today I was on a mastermind call and I was talking about podcasting, for example. And I get, when I do an interview with people in the post chat, once the recording button is turned off, I often speak with them for a few more minutes, and just about all of them tell me how much fun they had on the show, how really natural I am as a conversationalist, and how refreshing that is, because many of my guests are interviewed a lot, and you know, you just do what you do, right? You show up and you do what you do, but unless somebody tells you, it's hard to necessarily gauge how do you fit in with other people. And so I just declared today, I said, yeah, I'm really good at what I do as a podcaster.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you interviewed Alessandra Colacci, who was at the Pod Mastery session that we were at together.
I did.
Right? And she, so I haven't heard it yet, but I saw that she was saying that it was a great interview and you did such a great job. So that's great. I'll have to listen to that one. And then, Mary Lou, describe one personal habit that contributes to your well-being.
Hands down, Giovanna, it's journaling. Every single day I put pen to paper, and it's the thing that I stopped doing on a regular basis during my dark time. And in hindsight, I recognize that was a huge contributor to why I was suffering so much, because I just shut down. So journaling, handwritten journaling, not typing, not texting, but taking a book with either lined or unlined pages and a pen and writing for anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes a day.
Hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how much that makes a difference to sit there with pen and paper. And it's very interesting that you say when you were emotionally shut down, you didn't write. Because it's almost like you can't write if you're emotionally shut down.
And that's the time you need it most, right? Yeah. That's the paradox. Yep.
Yeah. And then what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
I'm going to go into the mom department for this one, because I resisted becoming a mom. A lot of my friends were having kids in their mid to, you know, 25, 26 years old. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't quite ready yet. But when my first child was born, something completely changed in me just instantly. The minute our eyes met, when the nurse wheeled her in on that little warming cart that they bundle them on, you know, and I'd had a long labor, and I was just eating up a storm because I hadn't had anything for almost 15 hours. And they wheeled her in, and it was about midnight, and she was so alert. And I just remember looking into her eyes and feeling that shift. And I knew right there that I had what it took to be a mom, and that it really had been there all the time. And I didn't know why I had been fighting it.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew that right away.
Oh, yeah. I knew it, like I said, the instant our eyes met. And she and I have had a very special connection for her whole life. And I have a special connection with my son, but it's in a different way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if it has to do with the gender differences, or she was first and he was second. They're two very different people. I mean, there's a lot of variables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. And let me ask you, what book are you reading right now, and what would you recommend other people read?
Oh, my gosh. I'm such a reader. I mentioned earlier Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. Highly recommend that. If you're intrigued by creativity, if you don't think you're creative but long to be, she does an amazing job of that. But what I'm reading right now is a book called Station 11. I'm in a book group, and it's fiction. It's a futuristic type post-apocalyptic world book, very different from what I would normally pick up. And the writing in it is just exquisite. So for anybody who's looking for a read like that, that's fictional, I would recommend that one.
Oh, cool. Okay. And last question, Mary Lou, what advice would you give your 25 or 30 year old self?
Oh, oh my gosh. Honestly, my advice would be to never stop writing, because I did take that hiatus. And then the other piece would be is that you can get through any difficulty, and that includes keeping your marriage together.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's you would have told your younger self that you could have kept your marriage together?
That's right.
Oh.
That if I could sit down with my 25, my 30-year-old self, I would put my arm around her and say, life is difficult. You already know that. And relationships are hard. But it's way harder when the relationship ends.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting when I ask people this question, because some people have advice that has to do with regrets, and other people have advice that has to do with just sort of lessons learned, you know, in life.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of reassurance that, oh, if only I just would have known that when I was that age, you know, mm-hmm. would have made everything so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, we have to have these experiences to make us who we are.
Absolutely. And I'm not a person that spends a lot of time in the room of regret, because there's nothing there for me. I have visited it. I have made my peace with it. I've recognized the mistakes that I made, how I contributed to the collapse. You know, it's a two-way street. Nothing ends. Any kind of relationship, there's always two parties involved. That's the definition of a relationship. So I have learned and grown into more of who I am. And, you know, I think about, I mean, not to be metaphysical, but honestly, Giovanna, you and I would not be having this conversation today had I stayed married. And I probably wouldn't have a podcast and wouldn't have written the books that I did. I mean, you can trace back. There's a lot of good things that come when two people part ways. But again, to be honest about that question, I would tell my younger self that the road's going to be rough, and, you know, I got a lot of spare tires.
Well, that's a great place to leave this conversation. I've been speaking with Mary Lou Kayser, business strategist and podcaster. She hosts Play Your Position podcast. Thank you so much for being on the show, Mary Lou.
Thank you, Giovanni. I really enjoyed it.
That's it for our show today. I've been speaking with Mary Lou Kayser, author, business strategist, and personal brand expert. Mary Lou works with emerging and established businesses to help them create their best-in-class assets, primarily from a writing standpoint. I spoke to Mary Lou about the importance of personal branding, her journey to where she is today, and the growth she realized she needed to have to get here. You can get the introduction and first chapter of Mary Lou's book, Personal Branding Secrets for Beginners, for free at www.wellwomanlife.com/009show. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenges as women, leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city and you'd like to apply to start one, email me at info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe to the show in iTunes and leave a review. This helps raise visibility for the show, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week for you. You can also continue the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at facebook.com/groups/wellwomanlifecommunity. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you are listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.